through the confession of sins, followers of Jesus are continuously cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that He's called you and me to walk in the light as He is in the light.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, there is a strange disorder that can affect people who live in northern climates, even including some of us here. Maybe some of us have been affected by this. Have you ever heard this? It's called SAD, S-A-D, Seasonal Affective Disorder. What that is sometimes during the winter, and actually even in spring, like we have here, where winter's not going away. I don't know, maybe we'll experience it here too. People can get very sad about that, can't they? But no, what happens is in the northern climates, that in winter, when there's so little light during the day, that can affect people. You know, they wake up in the dark, they're at work all day, they go home, it's already dark, and they're exposed to very little light throughout the day then. And it can affect them. It affects them physically, psychologically, in many different ways then. That's this SAD, seasonal affective disorder. But I want to talk to us a little bit here today about another kind of disorder that comes from not walking in light. And that is what I would call a spiritual affective disorder that can also leave us pretty sad and depressed and down when we are not walking in the spiritual light as well. So as we continue our new series in the book of 1 John here today, the commandment here is for you, for me, to walk in the light, to walk in the light. As we look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, what I want us to focus on is this thought, is that through the confession of sins, followers of Jesus are continuously cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that He's called you and me to walk in the light as He is in the light, and that through confession of sins, then, we can be cleansed, we can be forgiven and continuously cleansed by the blood of Jesus then. But before we look at our text here, a little context first off, there were false teachers who had infiltrated the church. And John was warning the people in the church and speaking against these false teachers and this false doctrine that had come into the church. These false teachers were denying the humanity of Jesus, the full humanity of Jesus. They were twisting the message, twisting the gospel message to something other than the biblical gospel. They were twisting it to a knowledge of some concept or idea about the Christ rather than a vital, life-changing relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, who is God, yes, and who is also man as well, Jesus, the God-man. It seems that also they were teaching that it didn't matter how one lived then, as long as you had this secret knowledge, if you will, of the Christ, whatever that meant, then it didn't really matter, you know, how you lived. And in fact, some would even deny the very idea of sin itself, saying, well, sin, there is no sin. Or if there is sin, well, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if we sin. But is that the biblical gospel that denies sin, or saying that it doesn't matter how we live if we claim to be followers of Christ, we claim to be believers in Jesus, it doesn't matter how we live? That's not what the Bible teaches about the gospel at all, is it? No, in fact, no. How we live speaks very much to what we really believe, what truly lies in our hearts then. And that genuine conversion brings about a change in a person. And it's not an instant change, though, is it? Well, in one sense it is. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's not. It's an ongoing process, then, of growing, of walking in the light, then. One note here on this here. There can be a little bit of a challenge here as we read through these verses about how do we interpret what John is saying here when he speaks of fellowship, having fellowship with God, with Jesus. Does this refer to a saving relationship with God, or does it refer to intimacy with God following salvation? In other words, is John addressing what we might call professing believers, or is he addressing genuine believers? And some commentators emphasize one perspective over the other. And my perspective on this, my understanding of this is he talking to professing believers or genuine believers? My answer to that would be yes. How many of you knew that was coming, that I was going to say that? I was going to say yes. See, I don't think that we need to single out one or the other. I think that both are in view here, that there is a part of this where he is addressing professing, that is someone who says, yes, oh, I know God. I have a right relationship with God. I have fellowship with God, but they're not showing it by how they're living. And he addresses that and challenges that. But it is also true, though, that even when one is a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, we still struggle with sin, don't we? We still need to confess sin, to have cleansing of that. And so that is there as well. So I don't think we need to pick one or the other. I think both of them are in view here. Before we look at this passage, though, I want us just to back up one verse and remind us then of why John is telling you and me these things. Why was he writing these things? And what does he want us to know? Well, back up to verse 4, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. He says, he tells us right there why he's writing. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. He wanted the fullness of joy in knowing that they were walking in the light. And he wanted them to know the fullness of joy by walking in the light. You see, he wanted them to have joy and not be sad, a spiritual affective disorder, by not walking in light here. So let's look then at the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So I want to focus today here on walking in the light. Walk in the light. First off, then, we walk in light because God is light. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, then we are called to walk in light because our Heavenly Father, God, is light. And he calls us then into a relationship with him to grow to be more and more like Jesus. And if he is light, then so too then are we then to walk in the light. Walk in the light because God is light. And he says, starts off by saying, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. In other words, what? There were false teachers who'd come in with another message, a different message. And that wasn't the message of Christ. That was not what Jesus had come to teach, to proclaim. It said, this is the message we heard from him. Who's the him? Jesus, right? John was an apostle of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, and then a sent one who went out into the world to proclaim the gospel, the good news of salvation, of hope in Christ. So this is the message we have heard from him, from Christ, and we proclaim to you. Don't listen to these false teachers that are twisting and distorting the message of Jesus, who he is, and why he came. This is the message of Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. So what do you think that means? When we say that God is light, does it mean, is he physical light? No. Well, it is true that sometimes God manifests or reveals himself as light, but that's not what it's talking about, a physical light there. He's talking about what? A moral light, a spiritual light. He's talking there about righteousness, right thinking and believing and living, holiness, truth, purity, goodness, wisdom. So God is righteous. God is holy. God is truth. God is pure. God is good. God is wise. This is what it means when we say God is light. He is those things. So God is light. So the scripture then says that if you and I, are you and I light? No, we're not. We're born in darkness, right? Original sin that we're born into. And apart from the grace of God, we were born in the darkness, we live in the darkness, and we die in the darkness. But of course, God does not want you and me to live and die in the darkness. He wants us to know the light and to walk in the light. And so for a human being then, the light then is not something that's found in you or me. It's found in God, but we can have the light of God, and so we can have life with God. So the light, holiness, righteousness, purity, goodness. For a human being, light is having life with God, walking in light. So he says, in him, God is light, and in him is just a smidgen of darkness? No. You know, once said someone was being, a president was being interviewed, and he asked if there was any scandal in his administration. He said, what? Not a smidgen. Well, that's debatable, I think, for any president, right, to say something like that. But with God, to say, well, he's, you know, mostly light. There's a little bit of, just, you know, a little bit of, no, that's not true at all, is it? In God, there is no darkness at all. There's no darkness at all. So if light is righteousness, it's holiness, it's truth, it's purity, it's goodness, it's wisdom, then what is the darkness? Well, it's the opposite of all that, isn't it? It is sin. It is error. It is falsehood. It is impurity. It is evil. It is folly. In effect, it is life apart from God for a human being. Light is life with God. Darkness is life apart from God. Holiness or sinfulness, truth or error, purity or impurity, goodness or evil, wisdom or folly. And so because God is light then, his light exposes or reveals the darkness that is in our hearts, doesn't it? In fact, that's one of the reasons why we know when we call this the gospel, it means literally good news, right? And it is good. Is there any better news that we could possibly hear than to know, to say, hey, you can have forgiveness of sin and have the gift of eternal life, blessing forever in God's presence? That is wonderful, good news. But people don't like to hear that, though, because along with the good news, there's some bad news, though, true, isn't there? The bad news is we have to acknowledge the truth about the darkness, about our sin, and people don't like. How many of you have discovered people don't like to be told that they're sinners, that they're sinful, right? Well, how many of you, even as if you're a believer in Jesus, how many of you appreciate a brother or sister coming alongside you and saying, here, let me point out some sin in you, right? Now, sometimes we need to do that, don't we? Sometimes I think maybe there's some better ways we need to go about doing that. But look, even as followers of Jesus, We can get a little upset when people point out our sin, right? Well, how much more so the one that does not have the Holy Spirit within convicting of that? We don't like to be told that we're sinful. But that's what happens when we are exposed to the light. It reveals the truth about us. So John says, we walk in the light because God is in the light. And he also says we must walk in the light. When we walk in the light, that's an indication that we have true fellowship with God. We walk in the light to have true fellowship with God. John says here that a person cannot claim to have fellowship, I would say a real saving relationship with God, while living in darkness. The two don't go hand in hand. So here's where he said, but there's sometimes some question about how do we understand this. I think he's saying here that if someone professes to have fellowship, that is, professes to have a relationship with God, but they are walking in darkness, well, then they don't. That's a lie. They're deceiving themselves. Because you cannot have a right relationship with God and consistently walk in darkness. Now, we need to understand, folks, as it makes clear here in just a moment, that having a right relationship with God through faith, being rightly related to Him, being saved, redeemed, doesn't mean that we never sin, does it? Doesn't mean that at all, because we do. In fact, it addresses that here in this passage. But he does say, though, for the person who walks in the darkness, a walk here in the Bible means like what? It's a way of life. It's how one goes through life. That you just walk or you continue in sin, unchallenged and apathetic about it, perhaps even embracing it. Can a genuine follower of Jesus say, oh yes, I have relationship, I have fellowship with God, but then just blatantly embrace sin and walk in the darkness and be unconcerned about it, never confessing it? No, you can't. So a person can't claim to have fellowship with God while walking consistently in darkness. And the person who does this, John says, what is lying? They're lying to themselves. They're lying to one another. And they're not practicing the truth, because the truth is we all are sinners. And even redeemed believers still wrestle with sin, don't we? So we lie to ourselves, we lie to others when we claim fellowship with God but consistently walk in darkness. But he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we truly have fellowship with God. So again, this does not mean that, well, if you have any sin in your life, then you're not a genuine believer. That clearly is not what the scripture teaches, does it? But if we go through life with no regard for sin, well, then we might want to question whether that faith is real or not, right? So if we walk consistently in the darkness, we're lying to ourselves. We're not practicing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have true fellowship with God. That's how we can know we have truly believed. So walking in the light, then, is a process, isn't it? It's a going through life, turning from sin continuously and following Jesus. You know, I've told you before, I wish it was true that we could repent from sin once for all time and be done with it, and then just walk continuously in perfect obedience. Wouldn't that be nice? How many of you would like that? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you have achieved that? And I hope I don't see any hands going. If you do, you need to write the book now on how you did it and tell us all how you did it, right? So, no, being a follower, a genuine follower of Jesus, doesn't mean we repent from sin once for all time and we never sin again. Well, we must repent or turn from sin when we put our faith, our trust in Jesus. But then as we go through life, we walk in the light by confessing the sin that his light reveals continuously to us. How many of you have discovered that the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're walking with God, the more aware you become of sin in your life that needs to be confessed and turned away from, right? So walking in the light is, it's growing. It's growing in holiness. It's growing in righteousness. It's maturing in faith as we follow Jesus. It's being open and honest and responsive, receptive to the light of God in our lives. So we walk in the light because God is light. Walk in light to have true fellowship with God. But we also walk in the light to be cleansed of sins, to be cleansed of sins. You know, when we walk in the light, it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. You know, when Christ took the weight of the sin upon himself on the cross when he died, was buried, and rose again, the Word of God tells us that when we put our trust and confidence in him, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, that we have once for all forgiveness of all of our sins, don't we? That we are cleansed fully and completely the moment we believe in him. All of our sins are forgiven. Aren't you glad that it isn't the case that, well, if we believe in Jesus, all the sins you've committed up to that point are now forgiven, and now it's up to you to do better? I'd be in big trouble, wouldn't you? But no, the reality is what? When we put our trust and confidence in Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven. We're cleansed forever through faith in him. So why does he talk then here about confessing and repenting of sin if they're all forgiven? Well, because it's one thing to have a right relationship with God that speaks to our eternity. But it's another thing, though, to come to grips with the fact that we still have a sinful nature within us that God is working in, that he has called us to progressing growth in holiness. And we will not fully be free from sin until when? Until we're in his presence. None of us are going to arrive at that state of absolute perfection, sinless perfection in this life, in these bodies, are we? So that's what we're called to confess and turn away from. It's about an ongoing relationship and intimacy with God. So when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. When we believe, we're cleansed once and for all. But when we walk in the light, his blood continuously cleanses us. So we walk in openness to the light of God's truth from his word in our life, and obedience to that, obedience to him. And then it tells us then when we do that, all of our failures, and I have failed many times, folks, the cleansing power of Christ's shed blood forgives and cleanses. Amen. Now, there might be some who would say, there were some who were saying, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Some were denying the very idea of sin. Well, you really are deceiving yourself in that case, right? But sometimes we may have sin in our life that we don't see or recognize or admit it as such, and we're living in denial of that. It says, but if we think that's the case, that we have no sin at all in our lives, we're deceiving ourselves there as well. In fact, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So to deny the reality of sin is to deceive ourselves, and it's also to call God a liar. Because God says you are. God says I am a liar. I'm a thief. I'm an adulterer. I'm all of those things. Because I've broken God's law. And I need his forgiveness. So if I deny that, I'm calling him a liar. And I'm fooling myself, lying to myself. So a genuine believer walks in the light, not in the darkness. And a genuine believer then is a life of continuous confession of sin. It's a mark of genuine belief, and it is a key to experiencing that joy of the Lord we talked about. It says, "What we write these things so that our joy may be complete." It's awfully hard to walk in joy when we're denying sin, when we're not confessing it, when we're not dealing with it, right? Which just brings us to one of my favorite memory verses. And you know, I've got all kinds of favorite verses, favorite passages here. But I tell you, this one, I think I learned very, very early on, and I've had to use it many, many times, right? And I'm talking there about 1 John 1:9, which says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you don't have that one memorized, get on it right now. You know, I think that is a great one to have committed to your memory there. Because like I said, I've had to pull that one out lots of times in my life and remind myself of that and act in faith and obedience to that. So I'd like us to spend just a moment here looking at that one verse and the truth of that verse that's so important for us to know. He says, if we confess our sins, confess there. What does it mean to confess our sins? It does not mean that we go to someone and tell them our sin here. Now, we may end up doing that as part of that. But no, the picture is what is God. It's going to God, speaking to God, and confessing our sin. That word we translate confess there is, it literally means to say the same thing. If we say the same thing about our sin that God says, that's what we need to do. In other words, what we agree with God about our sin. Stop trying to hide it or deny it, but come before God and admit it and confess it. Say the same thing about it that God says. Call it what it is. Admit it and take responsibility for it. Confession doesn't just mean, yep, you're right, God, I'm sinning, and then and keep right on going with them. It's to take responsibility for it as well. So when we confess our sin, we're agreeing with God about it. We're calling the sin what it is and saying, you're right, that is sin, God. You're right, that is destructive to me, that is displeasing to you. It is destructive to me, to others, and I admit it. And I take responsibility from it. And I now turn from that. It involves a repentance and a turning. True confession does. So if we confess our sins, that's the unpleasant part right there, admitting it, right? But here's the good news then. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful to forgive. In other words, what? Will God ever fail to forgive you or me when we confess our sins? No, he never will. Isn't that good to know? If we confess, God isn't going to say, you know what? I'm going to have to think about that one a moment. He will never fail to forgive when we confess our sins. Now, you and I, someone may come to it. Maybe someone has sinned against us. And they may come to us, confess that, ask for forgiveness. We may or may not forgive, right? We may or may not struggle with that. God never does. He is faithful to forgive every time. He is faithful. And also, the text tells us, he is just to forgive. That means that it is right that God does it. Why is it right for God to forgive your sins and mine when we confess? Because of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Jesus took the punishment for it. So he's just to forgive. You know, God isn't just saying, don't worry about your sin, never mind. I love you. I love you, don't worry about it. That's not God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is I do love you. But yeah, your sin does matter. But when you confess it, I forgive it because I punished my son in your place. That's why he's just to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. He always will. And he's just to forgive. It's the right thing because Jesus was punished for it. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And one final thing, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I are in process here, aren't we? And he is working to continuously to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We were cleansed once for all time through faith in Jesus. But we don't experience the fullness of that just yet, do we? But he's working in your and my life right now to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a lifelong process, this cleansing from all unrighteousness. And when will it be complete? Never in this life, but when we stand in his presence, will we be thoroughly and completely cleansed of all unrighteousness. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this text? Well, I want to remind us of the main idea here, that through confession of sins, followers of Jesus are continuously cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So I would ask, are you walking in light? Word of God says that if we claim to have a right relationship with God, but our way of life is what, constant sin and darkness? Well, we're lying, we're fooling ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. So walking in the light is an indication of a real, genuine faith, a real relationship with God. So are you walking in light? That is through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you agreeing with God? Do you agree with God about your sins? I need to agree with God about something every day. Anybody else here? Every day, right? Then finally, then rejoice. Rejoice that God is faithful and just to always forgive and cleanse. Isn't that good to know? When we confess, he will never fail to forgive and cleanse. That's something to rejoice in here today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you that through his shed blood is the forgiveness of sin for all time and the forgiveness of the sins that impede our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you will always forgive when we confess, and that you're just to do it because Jesus paid the price for us. So, Lord, we rejoice today. We rejoice today that you are faithful and just, that you have given us eternal hope in Jesus, and that we can walk in the light and have true fellowship with you day by day. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.